Grace, mercy, peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Text I want to share with you this morning is the gospel for today, especially these words. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, preaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. I got to tell you about something that I planned to do a number of years ago, and it just never worked out. My goal was to find out if I could experience compassion, you know. I don't know why, but I thought that would be a good thing to find out about if you're going to preach about it. So what I devised was when I would drive the tollway and pay the toll, then I would slip the toll collector a handful of money for the person behind me. Now, that's totally unexpected, of course, people to do that. But I never really got up the nerve to do it until one day I said, okay, today I got to go into River Forest Concordia College for a meeting. It was a religious type meeting related to Christian education. So I figured that's a good time to try to figure out what compassion means. So I had the bills rolled up in my pocket that I could easily slip them in the toll collector's hand after he took my money, except there were no toll booths anymore. You didn't pay a toll collector. You had those things on your windshield, you know? Okay. So that shot the idea of finding out what compassion meant there. Then I have a friend in Australia that we email back and forth. And I said to him, give me an idea of something that I could do that's kind of stupid and daring. And he said, here's what he suggested. He said, when you go to pay your grocery bill, and I could do that because every Friday I do the grocery shopping for our family. And so I figured this is a good thing to do. Slip extra, some cash into the hand of the cashier for the person behind you. So I thought, well, that's a great idea. I could do that. And I whipped a $20 bill, and I whipped that out and rolled it up so that I could slip it back to the cashier. Except when I looked back as the cashier was counting up, and they were counting pretty high for the stuff that I was buying, I look back and the lady behind me had a credit card. Well, you can't slip $20 into a credit card or something like that. So that shot that idea. So I never really got a good definition or experience of what compassion really is. What do you think compassion is? How do you define compassion? Well, that afternoon I went home and began working on a sermon that dealt with compassion, not this one. And I asked myself, well, how would you define compassion? You know, and I got a dictionary on my desk. I got a thesaurus too. So I could find words to me. But I thought, well, what are you coming up with? Sympathy for that person, you know, that you're trying to be compassionate to. You could acknowledge the difficulties that person is facing, even identify a little bit with that person, feeling some of their pain. Maybe you thought about that. Putting yourself in the other person's shoes to understand something about what they're going through, you know, and that'll give you something to imagine what compassion means. Doing whatever is necessary to help that person, to ease their burden. Well, maybe you got even better. I mean, these are not very great, but maybe you have better definitions of the word compassion. Compassion makes people do some very strange things. When a person's heart goes out to another individual who is in need, some amazing results are bound to follow. You only need to think of great people like, well, Mother Teresa, who gave up life in a convent, which I think compared to life on the streets of India would be a lot better than, you know, than working in the streets of India and the hardships and the illness and the disease that goes with it. Or somebody like Albert Schweitzer. Albert Schweitzer was a great organist, really super organist, an expert in J.S. Bach. He could have made lots of bucks, could have given them to charity, see, and could have made a lot of money using that talent. But instead, he chose to go to Africa and to work there among the lepers. Well, we need every now and then to think of people who put their own lives at risk in times of sickness, great sickness, pandemics, war, other kinds of disasters, natural disasters, and the need for compassion for those kind of people. Now, there was a doctor in the mid-1800s, and as he was locking up his door where he practiced medicine for the night, he opened the door to leave the building, and there was a kid, a boy, middle school age probably, curled up in the corner of where the door was. And the boy begged the doctor to let him stay there for the night because he had nowhere else to go. The boy told him that he had been living in a coal bin with some other boys. Well, the doctor talked to the kid a little more, and as he gained the confidence of the child, he persuaded the boy to take him to the place where the other kids that he knew were. And after going through a lot of dark alleys in the East End of London, they came to a hole in the wall that was part of a factory. Crawling through, the doctor found 13 other boys who were huddled under rags in that coal bin to keep warm. An outbreak of cholera was sweeping through that East End of London, and it was pretty disastrous. Thousands of small grade school age kids were sleeping in the streets where they could find a spot. Some of them were forced to beg on the streets during the day. Some of them were fortunate just to be there, but there was no place for them to go. No home for them to snuggle up for the night. There are lots of examples of what people do with their compassion. And this doctor decided that as he thought about the life of this boy and the boys that were in that coal mine, that he should do something about it. And so he did. The doctor's heart went out to those kids and to other children who were abandoned. When he died, Dr. Thomas Barnardo had founded homes for some 80,000 homeless boys and girls in London. This work that started with compassion for one kid and extended to 13 others in a coal mine, over the course of this doctor's life, covered 80,000 boys and girls. Okay, now, there are lots of examples of compassion for helpless and harassed people. And people have given a great deal of their life and their money to help. Now let's talk about us here in this gym this morning. God has pity on us, on you and me. That second reading from the book of Romans, it's chapter 5, in case you want to remember it for your devotions today sometime, where Paul says, "For when we were still helpless, Christ died for the wicked." God has shown how much he loves us, Paul wrote. "It was while we were still sinners that Christ died for us," chapter 5 of Romans. Paul makes it pretty clear that we're pretty helpless. We can't absolutely helpless when it comes to doing something about our sin, about our feelings of guilt, about the way we live our lives. Because we can't do anything, really, to stop from saying and doing things that are just so opposite that what God wants us to say and to do. We're helpless when it comes to getting rid of sin all by ourselves. We are, as Jesus said to the people he was sending out, we're harassed and helpless because we are sinners and there ain't nothing we can do about it. But that's not the end of the story. God doesn't want us to be helpless and harassed. God has compassion on us. He's gone to us and he's had pity on us. And he sent his son Jesus, born in that manger in Bethlehem, to deal with our sin. As Paul says this morning to us, by his blood, we are now put right with God. We were God's enemies, but he's made us his friends by the death of his son, Jesus. So you see, because God's love for us is just so strong, and his heart went out to you and to me again and again, even to the point of letting his own son die in our place, God has shown how much he really loves us. It was while we were still sinners that he did something about it. We need God's compassion. His compassion led him to identify with our sin, to become even sin for us in our place, and to take his sin, take our sin, and to free us with his power. And Jesus puts us among people who are the same as we are. Sometimes they're hungry for bread, and sometimes they're hungry for friendship, and sometimes they're hungry for understanding and encouragement. But most of all, they're hungry for the bread of life, Jesus, the Savior. There are times when we're challenged to meet this call of Jesus, to meet people's need for food or shelter, to understand, for understanding and love. And I guess we can say that here in Emmanuel, we do things like that pretty regularly. In case you may not remember, and in case you may think that this is stuff that I can't even join with others to do, let me tell you what we here at Emmanuel are doing right now. We provide some meals for the folks in Lazarus House. Lazarus House meets the needs, not just for shelter, for a mattress to sleep at night, or a meal at night, and breakfast in the morning, but it meets all kinds of other needs. And I have to tell you that I know personally the person who began Lazarus House. And she was an ordinary person like you and me. And she was a great student in one of my classes. And Diane went on to establish Lazarus House after feeding a few people, because as church secretary at St. Mark's, and she attended our manual for a while with her husband and her two girls, three girls, two or three. And now lives in Florida. Lazarus House is a great blessing to our community. But then we also make Christmas boxes in our school and fill it with goodies for Christmas and school supplies. I guess those are goodies too. And we ship them off to kids whose parents can't, or have only one parent maybe, or maybe no parents, and ship them off to kids who are in need like that. And well, there are many other things, and we don't have time this morning to think about the ways that we do that. But let me tell you this. There are still plenty of people who need to have the compassion of Christ planted in their hearts and in their souls, just as you and I, through water and word and baptism, through the bread and wine of Holy Communion, find the Holy Spirit coming into our hearts and invading us with God's love. You may not think so, that we need, that this is an area where that kind of need is real. But let me tell you, just in Batavia High School alone, there are, I don't have the present numbers, but dozens, many dozens of boys and girls, young men and women, who are homeless and need compassion and love, as well as food, as well as clothing, as well as help, and some kind of ministry and touching of the love of God. So God says, hey, no matter how you feel about it, no matter whether you feel, I can't do that, it's not me, God says, I will be with you. I will walk beside you, and I will help you. No, I will be your guide. There are many people in need. You and I are not going to change the world the way it is right now. There's a crowd out there like sheep without a shepherd. There are harassed and helpless peoples. And Jesus says to you and to me this morning, in the words of Matthew, feed my sheep. You and I are in the world. We are God's salt and light. Each of us is a part of God's family, God's team. You and I have experienced his love, his compassion. And he says, share it with those who don't know that love. Share it with those who are in need of a loving word, a loving hand, a loving help. People in this world are looking for help and a stretched out hand that says, God loves you just as the way he loves me. Now you might say, I can't do that. I'm just an ordinary sort of person. That's way out of my territory. Then you need to remind yourself that Jesus called the 12 disciples. And one was a tax collector. And the other was a political rabble-rouser. And others were just ordinary fishermen and other kinds of ordinary everyday people, just the way you and I are. So God says to you, he says to me, go share. We're not qualified to heal a broken world and help the harassed and helpless on our own. But God says, I will be with you. And he's chosen us to be his disciples today. We think we're not qualified, but by God's grace, his unearned love, we are authorized to follow the call. And that's pretty cool when you think about it. Jesus seems to delight in picking ordinary people, everyday people who don't seem to have the credentials we think they ought to. And he promises that he will give us what we have to reach out to the people of this world, the harassed and helpless. A dying world that needs a word of salvation. A dying world that needs an offer of healing for a broken people. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.